Welcome back to Recovering from Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever. Well, you guys, I put it out there and the results were unanimous. I will be reading my diary from junior high, grade 9 specifically, a very tumultuous year for me, and a little bit from high school, also not a great time. And together we will be analyzing all of the red flags, all of the warning signs. And hey, if you've got teenagers and you are secretly reading their diary, here's some stuff for you to look out for. This is super embarrassing. I can't believe I'm doing this, but away we go. Okay, so truly what ailed me for decades, let's say, number one, alcohol. Number two, not even number two, 1A, 1B, and 1C. So 1B was my relationship with my parents. Number three, 1C was my relationships and attachments with the opposite sex, with boys. I will never call them men. So obviously, you guys know, because I don't shut up about it, eventually I got sober. A few years ago, I started digging deep into my attachment wounds, which forced me to confront my relationship with my parents, forced me to confront the way I show up in my romantic relationships, because as disgusting as that sounds, those two are very much connected. And so I've come out the other side of everything. So I think that's the preface to this, is like, I'm okay. But for many, many, many years, I was definitely not okay. I didn't know how not okay I was until I got sober and I went back and I was reading this diary from grade 9, which documents in great detail A, the first time I got drunk, and B, the first time I ever kissed a boy, which, coming as a shock to no one, was at the exact same time. Okay, let me set the scene. So we are a couple months into my grade 9 year. So in Toronto, I went to a junior high, which was grades 7, 8, and 9. And then after that, I went to high school, 10 through OAC, so grade 13. So this is grade 9. This is 1997. I didn't write any dates on these pages, but I'm pretty sure it was end of November or early December. So just before the Christmas break. It was a random weekend. Let's read about the first time I got drunk, shall we? Tell me if you notice any red flags. Also, I was gonna change this guy's name, but he sucked. He tortured me for like months, him and his stupid friends. So I'm just gonna use his real name, which is John. And if you're listening, John, fuck you. Okay, so late November, early December 1997. Whoa, I have the alcohol tolerance level of a 2-year-old. I had like 2 sips of amaretto and like 5 sips of some Russian vodka or whatever. Okay, which I imagine is I probably had about 5 or 6 shots. And I was so drunk out of my head. It was so amazing. It was so amazing because I was in his arms the whole afternoon. Let me preface this with, out of nowhere, I developed a crush on this guy named John for no reason. We had literally never talked before. And now I was hanging out with him getting drunk. He's such a sweet guy. I heart John. Ew, I know I can't read this part. This is just kind of like details of us making out. Dot, dot, dot. Then John started kissing my head, so I went for his mouth and, capital letters, we Frenched 3 times, 3 exclamation marks. I don't remember how it happened the second time, red flag, but the third time, He was kissing my head, nose, lips, so I opened and it happened again. Oh my God, I love kissing him. All three times I broke off first because I was so tired. Red flag. Then I took another walk. Okay, so I was like getting up and wandering off. That's very typical of what I was like when I would drink. That actually literally lasted my entire drinking career. I had to get some air. Well, not outside, but out of that room. And that was my amazing 4 hours. And I remember going home after that because that was like the middle of the afternoon on like a Saturday. And I was wasted and I went home and passed out. Okay, first kiss, first drunk, just fucking red flag city already. Why was I making out with someone when I was barely conscious? Why was he making out with me? This was the 90s, so nobody was talking about this kind of stuff. But I see this little girl and I am worried for her. And I should be. Okay, so that was a Saturday, Sunday. This is maybe Monday, Tuesday. It is so awkward between us now. Oh my gosh, he must think I'm some kind of prude or something, which calling someone a prude in the ninth grade was like literally the worst thing you could say to a girl. I barely said two words to him today and I couldn't even look at him in the eye. And it's good because not that many people know. Anyway, I have to talk to him tomorrow. I'm going to ask him why he didn't. Oh my God, Kinga. I'm going to ask him why he didn't try anything when we were alone for like an hour. Because I was piss drunk and I barely knew my name, let alone what he was doing to me. Not that he was. He could have done anything and I wouldn't have given a shit. Oh my God. Kinga. Kinga. Honey. Oh my God. Okay, so not an ounce of self-respect, clearly, and drunkenly putting myself out there to be groped by a boy who was 2 weeks prior to this, a total fucking stranger because we had never talked. Oh my God. Okay. I can't help but think that I was more fun when I was drunk. Everything was more fun to me and funnier. I am so getting drunk next week, but only if there are guys there. There it is. There it is. That is the official marker of my alcoholism. Everything was better and I was better. It also strongly introduces my upcoming attachment wounds. Seeking validation from boys, thinking that that can only happen when I'm drunk. Oh, honey bunny. Okay. Anyway, tomorrow I'm making a promise to talk to John. Love, Kinga. Couple days later. So John and I aren't even making eye contact now. Great. I'm going to Alana's on Saturday and getting drunk and hopefully John will be there. I didn't talk to him yet, so I have to and invite him to Alana's or get Paul to ask him, which I think is what happened, and he'll get Jordan to bring some amaretto. I heart that stuff. Anyway, Anywho, I'm going to go crazy if we don't start talking soon. Okay, then I am lamenting about he's going to Florida over Christmas break. He's gone for 3 weeks. We talked on the phone. I called him. Girl, yes, get it. I am in an actual panic. I'm writing, he's not even gone and I miss him. Sue, it's three lines of O's. Much, and much is in like giant bubble capital letters. It takes up two lines in my diary. Okay, so little bit attached here. We've kissed once. We didn't speak for what looks like a week or two. And then we randomly talked on the phone and I'm like, oh my God, I miss him so much. Okay. I'm talking about writing him a letter while he's in Florida. I can't stop thinking about him. Oh, here we go. Here's a little red flag for my attachment issues. How am I going to make it through 3 weeks when I could barely make it through 2 days? I feel so helpless because I know I have to. Oh, honey. Literally, this boy has done zero things to win me over besides drunkenly make out with me, okay? All right, one entry where I'm complaining about my parents. They're so mean. My mom's really nice and funny, but when she starts getting mean, she doesn't stop. She's very impatient with me. Just like really typical teenage stuff in this one. Oh, an entry about how I'm really scared my parents are going to have a fight. They fought a lot when I was little. I have to remember that. Like, I was little. I was 14. And it's not 14 as you know them today. I was little. And yeah, having your parents fight when you're a kid is the worst thing ever. Oh, today on Montel. Does everyone remember that 90s talk show, Montel Jordan? It was so good. Today on Montel, he said you should never, ever fight in front of your kids. I hope dad listens to that. Yeah, because my dad's sitting there watching Montel Jordan with me. An argument is fine as long as they're not mad after. Yeah, that's like, seeing my parents mad at each other was like the most devastating thing for my nervous system. Like I literally remember like losing sleep over it, not wanting to sleep, trying to stay up as late as possible to see if I could hear them fighting. Like, and if they weren't, then like I would still just like, oh, just be in bed, like breathing so shallow, just like, you know, please just go to sleep. Around New Year's, I started feeling like a huge outcast with my friends. Nobody has a clue that I'm hurt or pissed. Even if they do, they probably don't care. I definitely, for many, many years, carried feelings of like alienation. Like, and I think part of it was because like I did have strict parents. And so I couldn't like always be with my friends. Like here I was talking about they were all hanging out for New Year's, but I didn't want to hurt my parents' feelings, so I didn't even ask to go out with them. But yeah, the like alienation, isolation, just kind of like not quite fitting in, that has begun. And that I kind of like always a little bit felt like that, but this is when it like really starts to come out. Like I just felt so different from everybody. And I know that like drinking and being around boys made me feel like I was part of something. Red flag, red flag, red flag. There's one page where I literally just scribble and I scribble like right through the page. And then next page, that was me being frustrated. My New Year's resolution was to not be as nosy. That honestly is a little bit, I think it's a precursor to me being extremely codependent. I'm pissed at my friends, pissed at my friends. Oh, John called me. Ah, I'm getting together tomorrow with him Saturday. And Alana, and I'm not sure who else. I think probably Jordan or Paul. I'm so glad he called. He called Alana to ask for my number. Anywho, I hope Saturday is like the last time, only things happen sooner. I want him to get drunk also. Oh, okay. So that's okay. I was not aware of that. That the first time that John made out, when I was like pissed drunk and barely knew my name and a little bit passing out, John was sober. Okay. I want him to get drunk also. We'd have a blast. Oh my God. He was so sweet to me on the phone and I had such a hard time hanging up. I was going out, but I wanted to stay in. We talked for like 10 seconds. He actually asked me what I got for Christmas. I heart this guy. Actually, I'm not sure if it's love yet, but it will be, I hope. Love? ? Kinga. Getting drunk with my friends. Okay. Last night I went to John's house. We made out, but this time he stuck his hand halfway up my shirt. Oh, wow. Big deal. I don't, what was I in such a freaking rush for it to like get felt up by like this kid. Like, who cares? Oh God. Oh God. Okay. Oh wow. Big deal. He's acting like a real prude. All he wants to do is kiss. Yeah, because we're children. It's really annoying. Next weekend, Alana's having a co-ed sleepover. Oh my God. Maybe this time John will go further. Would you like, I expect him to just know what he's doing. Like, I guess so. Is he scared that I'll stop him or something? I won't. Yeah, that's become very clear. Him feeling me up is not a big deal. Of course, him not feeling me up is a big deal. Oh my God. He should just go for it. Stop being so shy and just jump right into the moment. Oh yeah. Oh, this is stupid gossip that doesn't matter. My mom spent the whole weekend yelling at me. That's pretty typical. I'm not going to read much of the mom stuff because I don't want to talk shit about my parents, because especially my mom, she just is, we're in like such a different space. But I will tell you, she was not helping. She was not helping. Oh my God. Today, Zach had the nerve to call me a slut. Ugh, the second worst thing that you could call a person, or call a girl, I guess. Today, Zach actually had the nerve to call me a slut. I barely make out with one guy, and I'm already a slut. I think secretly I was very proud of this title. I don't care what people call me, as long as it's not prude or slut or anything really bad. Who the hell does he think he is? I mean, honestly. And then I go off on him for a while. Okay, John is officially not talking to me now, like actively not talking to me, which was so devastating. This was really a huge decline in my grade 9 year, and it was only like January. Okay, John's avoiding me now, I think. Today at lunch, Nolan and Mayor called him over to us, and he said, "One sec," but he never came. I want to talk to him. Really, this avoidance thing is pathetic, and I'm absolutely sure Paul likes me. I guess that's okay. He's my best guy friend. This is all so bad. Okay. Some more hot gossip about my friends. Oh, this was sad. Okay. Alex, Kimmy, and me went to a movie. It was the Titanic. We went to see Titanic. After, we called Alana. She had a couple of those guys over, at her house. John told Alex he didn't like me. So I'd want you to know we were on a payphone at Yorkdale Mall after seeing Titanic, the three of us, and then calling our other friend who had all these dudes over. Okay, we're on a payphone in public. John told Alex he didn't like me. I cried for a while. We met this guy and he asked us for change for a dollar. Then Kimmy asked him, "Isn't she gorgeous? Wouldn't you love to go out with her?" He answered yes. He was really sweet. I really can't believe John though. Nolan told me it was because of rumors. What? Rumors? Anyways. I'm angry. I'm just really angry. Okay. So this was my first time for sure getting ghosted by someone that I also saw at school every day. I literally never talked to this John ever again, or rather he didn't talk to me. The next second half of this diary is me calling him a jerk, him like actively avoiding me. At one point, they were crank calling my house, like him and his two friends. They sent pizzas to my house. I guess at some point, one of them told my dad to fuck off on the phone. Like, it was just bad. It was just like a bad, bad rest of the year. I was just in a lot of pain. I was fucking up at school. Obviously, because I was actually wearing like the weight of the world on my shoulders, between home stuff, school stuff, like boy stuff, I was drinking, I felt left out from my friends. Like, it just was, this was a really bad year. Here are some takeaways. I realize that emotionally I was an absolute train wreck, and also I was 14, so I was just raging with hormones. It would have been cool, and I know they did their best with what they knew, but it would have been cool if my parents were a little bit more sympathetic and supportive, and if they weren't yelling at me all the time. It's pages and pages of like my mom this, my dad that. Oh, this page is just giant capital letters. My dad is being so mean. lyrics. For some reason, I wrote out all the lyrics to Freshman by the Verve Pipe. Great song. At one point, I rate my friends. Kim, 9.5. Alex, 9. Alana, 9. And then a couple. So the second half of grade 9, I started befriending kind of like this different group of girls. They were like a little bit more nerdy, a little bit more studious, which really, really helped kind of reframe my mind when it came to academics. So pretty sure those girls saved my life a little bit. Boys. Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. So two of my best friends at the time went to a different school. They went to a high school. So they were in grade 9 in a high school. So my best friend developed a crush on this boy in her high school. So she was obsessed, like just beyond in love with this boy. They didn't talk or anything, but they had mutual friends, and she was just, you know, just over the moon in love with him. In the summer, she and I and him and a couple of their mutual friends were hanging out. We got drunk. I made out with this boy. Yeah, I did that. I hurt her a lot. She certainly never forgave me. We had a friendship after that, but nothing was the same. This was literally my best friend for 3 years. And then I did that to her. He also ended up being my first boyfriend. So that was a very big deal to me, who had just had a really hard time. But yeah, I got drunk and I did that. There's pages and pages and pages of how much I love him, how upset she is, how could I do this, should I end it, oh, I love him. We were in a full-blown relationship. Like, we just loved the shit out of each other. We were together, I think, for like 9 months or something, which, I mean, when you're 14, 15, that is an eternity, my friends, an absolute eternity. So, yeah, we actually dated again when we were in university. Well, dated. We dated in the summer, sort of. I would not call that dating. And he broke up with me again because I was just getting way too attached. And I was at the time like, what do you mean? But no, yeah, I needed to be broken up with. We went to different universities. It would not have worked. My friends are mad at me because I'm seeing this boy, obviously. Yeah, it was bad. I got drunk a lot this summer. I had a boyfriend, which was very exciting. I was feeling very guilty. I really wanted to have a good time. I can see that, like, drinking was definitely like the only fun escape I had from what I was otherwise carrying all the time. Yeah, that was bad. I'm happy that I had the true boyfriend experience. You know, I mean, he went to a different high school, so it was basically long distance, but he was lovely. It sucks so much that I did that to my best friend. And that's the person that I ended up with. Okay, I did not keep a diary the following year, which would have been grade 10. But obviously me and my long distance boyfriend broke up. I started smoking weed, and then the summer following grade 10, I was smoking a lot of weed. I was not a good student by any stretch of the imagination. I was getting in trouble for like my report cards a lot. I was skipping class all the time. My teachers were constantly calling my house. Yeah, it was rough. But in grade 11, halfway through, on January 1st, 2000, I decided to start another diary. January 1, 2000. I can't believe it's 2000 already. Last night, all I could think was, this is the century that we're all going to die. Okay. I'm making resolutions. I'm going to study for tests. I'm going to care more about my future. Wrong, wrong. To my family, I won't fight so much with my mom. Wrong. Try to understand my parents more. Also wrong. They also did not understand me. Try to be a good friend. January 2nd. I can't sleep. It's 1:45 a.m. and I can't stop thinking. My mind is running wild. There are so many things I want to do regarding school and friends and my love life, and I feel totally helpless because I'm stuck on holidays and I can't help any of my problems. It's driving me insane. I'm so tense and stressed out. That was the beginning of a long-lasting anxiety issue, sometimes a disorder, which it sounds like on January 2nd at 1:45 in the morning, it was a little bit disorderly. But yeah, I started getting very, very anxious. I'd always been anxious. I just don't think I wish I had my diaries from when I was like in grade 5 and 6, but I was always a very, very nervous kid. Probably because my parents were fighting all the time and I always had to be on like high alert. And also like the, you know, high school, this was not the first time that I was getting in trouble at school. I was in trouble at school in elementary school. Not all the time, but I was definitely a bit of a troublemaker. Oh, same day, January 2nd, my best friend, who you guys all know and love, Aaron, has a boyfriend. I'm very, very jealous. Oh, I'm also kind of seeing, like secretly making out with this, another boy named John, which red flag already, should have known it was not going to work out. But yeah, he was a couple years older. I was in my second year of high school. He was in his last year of high school. We were making out secretly. I just really, really wanted to have a real boyfriend. quote, and it can't be John. I have to face it. It's not going to work out. We're getting drunk every weekend at this point. I am on the hunt for a boyfriend. Super stressed out about school, sleepless nights. I just want to jump right in and start being smart. Dude, I had so much going on. And I wasn't cut out for school. Like I can look back and see that now, but it just, everything was just so like standardized back then. January 8th, John's stressing me out. January 11th, John and I are great. That's probably really good for the old nervous system. January 12th, I don't think I'll ever decide if John's nice or an asshole. January 15th, made out with John in the hall at school because he got kicked out of class. Oh, the lyrics to a song called 16 by No Doubt. Great song. Tragic Kingdom is one of the greatest albums of all time. Oh, a couple of phone numbers for tutors. My mom, oh, and pricing. Good job, King. I priced this out. My mom won't let me get one unless I start studying more. I don't have a date for the semi-formal. Oh my God. I So I like cycled through a couple of dudes to be like, maybe I can go to semi-formal with this guy or this guy or whatever. I ended up going with this one guy who was kind of like friends by proxy or whatever. And we ended up kissing that night. Hold on. February 11th. Last night was the semi and Jamie was my date. We were dancing and we just kissed. So now we're together. We were together. We were together until... So that was February 11th. March 7th, Jamie and I broke up yesterday and we were together for just under a month. We just didn't have strong feelings for each other. Which you wouldn't know because 3 days later on March 14th, we were out celebrating Jamie's birthday at a bar. I don't know what the fuck I was doing at a bar because I was 16 years old. But I was drinking. And Jamie's ex-girlfriend kissed him, and I spent an hour crying in the bathroom while my friend Adam held my hand. Coming as a surprise to no one, I also made out with Adam that night. I really hope it works out. I've never had a boyfriend at school before. That was March 14th. March 19th, we broke up yesterday. I'm okay with it, though, because we just weren't working. Oh, I like being friends with him so much more. He told me he wants to keep fooling around. I was probably like so down for that. March 23rd, 4 days later, Adam and I are, quote, seeing each other or whatever. I like him and he likes me. It's great. My problem is school. Yeah. So our vice principal like watched me like a hawk. He was always kind of like chasing me down when I was late for class or skipping class. He just like knew where I was supposed to be at all times. Report cards are in 3 weeks and I will be murdered. Why did I have to fuck up so much over and over? Why do I look for trouble? Oh, honey. Because you're really going through it. That's why. March 29th, report cards are in 2 weeks and 1 day. Okay, I'm very stressed out because I'm literally counting the days and I'm getting a 47% in math. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Adam and I got back together. Oh, I guess we had broken up at some point. That was March 29th, April 2nd. Adam broke up with me, .. in a letter. Oof. Yeah, that was bad. April sucked. May sucked. May really sucked. Yeah, I'm getting into trouble at school. My English teacher called my house because I skipped 2 classes in a row, which is honestly, it's so, the irony of that. First of all, I was in an advanced English class. Because I had like truly mastered the language. No, I just was really great with like the literature and stuff. So I was in advanced English and I'm getting in shit for skipping these classes. And then in university, I ended up in like an honors. I have an honors English degree in professional writing. And I would literally, you guys, go to exams like a morning exam, still drunk from the night before and like, crush these exams. Like I had no issue with English. And that's just like the funniest part to me is like, I was skipping classes, but like it was, you could never really tell. But Miss Richardson was, I don't know, like in her mid 20s and was probably like a super green teacher and was like, this is what teachers do. She probably honestly wanted to just see me live up to my full potential. Okay. This seems to be the beginning of my suicidal ideation, which I had for a long time. The last time I had a thought about it was actually right when my husband and I split. I mentioned it in one of the pods, but yeah, just this feeling of like, why am I here? I should just not be here. That ended up being a pretty consistent like undercurrent from time to time in my life. And here's the first documented one. May 26, 2000, Miss Richardson called my mom and told her I was absent the last 2 classes. My mom's pissed and I'm crying here because of so much, not just because my mom's pissed, but because I don't understand why I'm here. I don't make anyone happy. All I give my parents is grief and anger and sadness. I make so many mistakes, but I don't learn from them. I learned my lesson from one major mistake when I forged my mom's signature. I will never, ever do that again. It's true. I literally never did. She was so mad and trashed my room. I don't understand how come that stuck with me, but all this other stuff isn't. I hate being grounded on weekends more than anything. I hate seeing my parents angry more than anything also. So why am I the cause of both of those? I'm so jealous of my sister. She's the perfect student, studies all the time, does her homework, always seems to have spare time to watch TV or do track and field or talk on the phone, and goes out at least once every weekend. There's no point in me being here. Who am I here to make happy? I always wanted to be someone people needed to see, someone they couldn't live without, but I'm not. Everyone at school says hi to me and likes me, but their day would go on fine without me. As for my family, they seem to always be getting annoyed with me. My mom tries so hard to get me to sit down and do my homework or study, but I never listen. I just brush it off as constant nagging and do something else. I wish I could just be different. I always wish I was someone else. Right now, I hate so much in my life. I feel like I'm not good enough for anyone. My parents love my sister more. All my teachers expect me to fail. My friends take advantage of me and don't see how hard I try for them. So that's red flag, warning signs. And I do have memories of like those thoughts and like the, I need to just disappear. I need to like not be here. Those got stronger, the following year. And then in university, I started like self-harming very consistently. But in university, alcohol was always involved. I was in like an extremely shitty relationship also when I started self-harming. Like it just, these are all tied together. It's not one thing. It's like relationships with parents, relationships with others, alcohol, all swirling together in this like horrible cocktail. And like mental health was not a thing in the 90s. So I think there's probably some like undiagnosed stuff in there. I don't know, man. I mean, I look at this kid writing this stuff and she needs support and she needs guidance and she needs a lot of fucking help, and nobody was giving it to her. And I was looking for it. I never stopped looking for it, and I was always looking for it in boys and drugs and booze and partying. And I was looking for it in not only all the wrong places, but in places that were actually doing way more damage to me. And that's not to say that I was just this like huge fuck up in high school, because I did good things. Like I was volunteering for at this like children's hospital. I had a steady job. Like I had this sort of like pure and wholesome and kind of normal quality to my life. But the majority of it was just so chaotic, just so chaotic. So it looks like I cycle through John and Adam for a while before Adam and I get together officially. We ended up dating for a long time, like a year and a half or something. September 5th, 2000. So September 5th is significant to me because that's my sobriety birthday, September 5th, 2012. Let's see what I was up to 12 years before I got sober. I get blamed for everything. Oh boy. Oh, there's in capital letters scratched in. It says, I haven't done anything wrong. I want to die, but the only reason I'm staying is because of Adam. I hate me. Okay. Oh, September 13th. That's my daughter's birthday, but 14 years later. Okay, so let's see what at the day, 14 years to the day before my daughter was born. School is actually going well this year. I do my homework every night and I understand it all. Adam is great also. I feel great. That's awesome. Oh, good for you, Kinga. This diary is almost done, so is the episode. But December 27th, 2000. Wow, in 3 days it will be a new year. And to think I started off this year with such a shitty start. Yeah, no kidding. And look at it now. I couldn't be happier. The only two things bugging me are, one, early curfew. My curfew was 12:30 for like 6 years. Early curfew, although I think I can handle that. And two, my dad doesn't respect me. I do so much now. I work 2 to 3 times a week. I babysit. I volunteer for kids with disabilities, and he still makes fun of me. He complains that he has to drive me everywhere, which is totally not true. Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been true because I was an avid TTC taker. It really bothers me though. I think maybe I'll talk to my mom about it. That's not a good idea. He made fun of me on Christmas Eve in front of all my family. It's starting to really hurt me. Oh yeah, okay. So things start getting really bad with my dad, which tracks because he was pretty absent in all of my diary entries. And I don't really have any memories of anything like really contentious with my dad until high school. And then it got bad. I'll probably talk to my mom. She's very supportive. Yeah, I don't think I ever talked to my mom about that. And then 3 months later, there's like an update. I'm really happy with Adam. It's been 7 months. He's my best friend. We promised each other we'd never break up, so I can relax a little. That's cute. It's really funny because Adam and I are still like very good friends. Sometimes I get scared he's sick of me. This is actually the second time I wrote this. Sometimes I get scared he's sick of me, but it's just my paranoia kicking in. He pointed out the other day that I always find something to worry about. Okay, so those are the first, those are some of the first warning signs of, my anxiety, but two, of my anxious attachment style, always being worried that the person I love is going to leave me. If you haven't looked up attachment styles, please do so now. It is going to ruin your life in the best way. Then I say, I'm scared. So Adam says, I always find something to worry about. I'm scared I might be sort of obsessive compulsive. I wasn't. I had anxiety. I used to be a little when I was younger, very anxious when I was younger, but it sort of faded. It's back now. I always worry about something. Even as I write this, I'm worrying about this weekend and school. It's so annoying. I don't know what to do. I really have no idea if this is serious or who to talk to or anything. It's sort of scary. Oh, it's going to get significantly worse, my love. And that's it, you guys. I have 100 other journals in my adult life, some through university, which are pretty horrific. And I'm honest, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because they're so sad. And I was just in such a bad way in university. But those were my diaries from grade 9 and grade 11, two pretty volatile years for me and a very large bag of red flags, warning signs, warning sign after warning sign of what was to come. And of course, we know what the warning signs look like now, right? Of alcoholism, how I said that everything was better. I was better after that first time that I got drunk. All my attachments to boys, always looking for someone in my relationship with my parents. It can either be a really great mocktail or a really vicious cocktail. And thank you for listening to another episode of Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever, including existing as a teenager in the 90s and drowning in red flags, but actually having no idea what was happening until decades later. When hindsight is 2020, we are much more informed and you can go back and heal your inner child or something. Thanks for listening. See you soon.